Living life as a living torpedo has its upsides. Feeling the current on your scales as you dart toward a school of tasty mackerel must be second to none. However, it comes with its challenges. The striped marlin is a sword-tipped sea projectile that swims faster than most other animals. But what happens when it aims at the same food as its friends and finds itself in front of the bullseye? Coordination is often the name of the game in life, death, and taxonomy. Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of this theme, our theme song. To hear more of her music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And thank you to Johanna for the creation of this week's artwork. To check that out, you can visit us at our home on the web at ldtaxonomy.com. And a very special thank you to our patrons, to Jesse Raspolich, Carol Raspolich, Richard Kaspar, Lottie and Aubrey, Gray Hughes, and Wednesday Rabbit. Thank you so much for your support. It is greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on.
And today we're talking about the Tiger Torpedo. But more on that later.
Yeah, good. You didn't take one of my nicknames this time. But that was a pretty good one, Tiger Torpedo. I like it. Yeah, we're talking about the striped marlin. You told me you're wearing a softball jersey right now. I can't actually see you.
Well, a t-shirt. A t-shirt.
I have been to exactly one professional sports game in my life, and it was a Marlin game at the Sun Life Stadium.
I've only ever seen, I think, the Marlins professionally, yeah. But I've been to several Marlins games.
That's the only, like, not just baseball. Like, I've never been to any professional sporting event except for
might have been
one
to a
Marlin
hockey
game.
Might have been to a Panthers game. I can't remember specifically, but I feel like I have. I've never seen any NFL game, even though that's like I think NFL, the football is the game I like to watch the most, second to baseball, but I've never seen an NFL game in real life. And I'm less interested in going to the stadium to see an NFL game for some reason. There's something about a baseball game that is better. I don't know.
It's so American to go to a baseball game.
Yeah. A hot dog.
That, like,
some Cracker Jacks.
That church organ.
Yeah.
Beep, 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 beep. I'd say it's good stuff, but I went to that Marlins game in maybe 2002, maybe 2001. So it's been a long time. Do they still pitch the ball and catch it and hit it these days?
Yeah, if you don't like baseball at home, you won't necessarily like it at the ballpark.
You'll like,
I don't know.
I definitely,
you might like the experience.
I mean, I've been to some college football games, and I definitely enjoy those experiences a lot more than I ever would watching the same thing at home.
True. But you won't like the game more necessarily. You might enjoy the overall experience.
But then I can get into, like, hey, I'm in the stadium and my team is there playing, or the team that for my school is there playing, and I'm surrounded by people that are super hyped for whenever something good happens. So now I'm getting super hyped for whenever something good happens. The problem is I don't really know what's happening. So it's like, oh man, we got 5 yards. Like, that doesn't seem like a lot, but everyone's losing their minds about it. So, woo!
If you don't understand football, the first down is a huge thing. People don't understand why it's good.
I mean, I get why it's good.
Because that, I mean, you get why it's good, but like when you're just looking at people running around, you won't. It's harder to notice that, especially when you're not in your when you're in real life and there's no like digital line on the ground. You have to look at the uprights, but that's so off topic.
Yes, it is. We're talking about it's so off topic because we're talking about football. When we should be talking about baseball, when we shouldn't even be talking about baseball, we should be talking about fish. So we're talking about the striped marlin, which we're going to call here the stabby snoot, the dapper daggerfish, and Marlin Monroe.
Good.
Because it steals the stage. You know what?
It steals the
stage. I don't even know what Marilyn Monroe was famous for. Was she just a model, or did she dance or sing or something? Like, I don't know. I imagine her as like a smoky jazz singer kind of thing. But maybe she's just a Kardashian figure. It was just like, I don't really do much, but I'm a public figure.
Well, she kind of was a Kardashian, but they put her in movies. I don't remember if like. She is like famous for being a model and then they put her in movies, or if like everything happened at the same time, but she was in movies, she sang, and she was a model.
Okay. So there was some sort of talent on display there.
Or at least she was beautiful enough that people didn't care if she had talent or not.
So I'm not wrong in saying that she steals the stage. She was on stage at some point for some reason.
Even if it was just a soundstage.
Yeah. So, striped marlin, let's taxonomize this feller. The kingdom is one you know, love, and are in. That's Animalia. The phylum is Chordata. The class, it's a fish. And a bony fish at that. So, it's Actinopterygii. A word that, after all of these years, I can spell without having to look it up. It's that Y. It's Actinopterygii that got me for so long, but now it's ingrained. The order is Istiophoriformes. The family is Istiophoridae. The genus is Kajikia, which is the fish person you can play as in Skyrim. The species is Audax. Kajikia Audax.
I was going to say Kajikia has wares if you have coin.
I forgot what that character's name was. Like Kasim or something like that.
Something like that.
But since we're in the business of naming things, it's time for my favorite part of the show, critter groups. The part of the show where I ask you, Joe, a question, and that question is the same every time. What is a name of a group of this animal, or what is the term of entry, or what is the collective noun? If you saw a group of marlin, or marlins, the great wizard marlin, would you say it's a park of marlin, b, a sheath of marlin, c, a race of marlin, or d, a habit of marlin?
A race of marlin. I like that because it's like the race of men, the race of elves, but also they're fast. So I'm going to go with race, final answer.
That is incorrect. Although it was my favorite one that I came up with. The answer is park. It's a park of marlin.
Oh, is it? After the Marlins? Like a ballpark?
I have no idea. But that's the first thing I thought of was a ballpark.
Wow. Just goes to show you that terms of entry are not time-tested, pillars of...
Yeah, and this is not one that was on any sort of like official site or anything like that. It was one that I just saw the most often. Because there really isn't like an official one.
So we're making it a race of marlins since it's just made up and the points don't matter. We've decided it's a race of marlins.
Yeah, there's sometimes when like I can't find the official one, and all I can find is like a Reddit post or a Twitter post or something that says like, "Hey, wouldn't it be funny if it was this?" It's like, okay, well, it's a fish. It's a school, right? That's it. It's a school or yeah, a shoal, depending on the behavior of the fish in it.
A scabbard would also be good.
I put sheath in there.
Yeah,
but scabbard would have been good as well. But you need. I mean, that's for a swordfish, which is related to a marlin,
yeah,
but not a marlin. Let's talk about what it looks like. Let's describe this fella. So marlin are large, sleek fish. They're torpedo shaped. They have long bodies, pointed bills, which set them apart from other billfish species. Not all, because like I said, we have the swordfish, which also has a pointed bill. Their long and torpedo shaped bodies are very hydrodynamic. It's designed for swift movement through the water. They have very striking coloration. I mean, they're called the striped marlin for a reason. They have dark blue to black upper portion. They're countershaded, like a lot of oceanic animals are. So the top part of the animal is dark blue and black, and the lower portion is silvery white. And it has a series of vertical blue stripes along its side, giving it the tiger torpedo that we all apparently know and love. It has a very tall and wide dorsal fin that gives it stability when it's swimming very fast, because it can swim very fast. Its pectoral fins are actually relatively small in comparison to its body size, but these allow them to steer and maneuver. And its fin, called the caudal peduncle, which is a term we've already made fun of, that's where the body and the tail meet. This fin is very powerful. It allows it to accelerate very quickly. To go from to like a burst of energy and speed. And like I said, it has that really elongated bill, just a big like sword, essentially, like a big stabby pointy thing at the end of its face. And it tapers to this fine point. It is used both as a weapon to stun prey, and it also can slash through schools of fish during like a feeding frenzy or like a bait ball or something like that. They don't stab prey with it very often. I mean, at least not on purpose, because then how are you going to get it in your mouth if you're a fish and the prey is stuck to your nose? I think we also mentioned this in the narwhal episode, like they don't use their tusk to stab prey, A, because it's a tooth and it's really sensitive, but also B, because it's going to be stuck to their tusk for the foreseeable future. So what they do instead is they smack things with it to stun prey, and then they'll eat it after that. So like I said, this is a pretty darn big fish. It's the biggest fish I've ever personally seen anyone catch. So how big is it, Joe?
Good question. Welcome to the Beloved Measure Up segment, the official listener's favorite part of the show. The part of the show when we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send an audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering the words measure up into ldtaxonomy.com. We don't have any measure up intro this week, so that means we get to hear from a marlin, and Carlos gets to guess who it is.
I think I know. Is it Marlin from Finding Nemo?
It is not.
Oh, because his name is Marlin, but he's a clownfish.
Without further ado, the listener's favorite part of the show.
Thank you. That's... Thank you. I just want to start to always, every time I do a speech, I just always want to thank to the Lord Jesus Christ for all of us to be here today, this beautiful day.
Is that like a... is that a baseball player?
It is. It's Marlon. He's famous Marlon Ivan Pudge Rodriguez.
Yeah, I was never going to get
Do
that.
Do you know that name?
No. Isn't, I can't remember his name now. I actually had a friend who had this last name.
Rodriguez?
Not Rodriguez. One of the best baseball players of the time played for the Marlins.
Stanton?
I don't know. Like in the early 2000s.
Maguire.
Mark Maguire.
I don't think Mark Maguire played for the Marlins.
No?
I think he was a St. Louis. He was a Cardinal.
Oh, that makes sense because that's the team that the Marlins were playing when I saw. So I guess Mark Maguire. When did he play? Maybe he.
The 2000s.
Yeah. So.
90s, 2000s.
It seems like there was a good chance that he was playing at the game that I saw.
True, probably. He was a very famous name, but Pudge Rodriguez is a famous name in Florida. He was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 2017, most notably for his role as the catcher in the 2003 World Series Marlins team. And he had this like clutch play at the plate in the playoffs that sent them put them in the running for the World Series. And he was my favorite player as a kid. Because his name was Pudge. And that's funny.
And Pudge controls the weather.
Yeah.
That's a quote from
Leland's Pudge. Let's talk about their length. They're 2.9 meters or 9.5 feet to 4.2 meters to 13, which is 13.8 feet. So how many striped Marlins go into the distance of Giancarlo Stanton's record home run at Coors Field in Colorado in 2016?
Man, this is a sports heavy episode, and
it's going to be a baseball episode.
We've already exhausted my knowledge of baseball.
Giancarlo Stanton is also a Marlin. Here's a hint. Stanton hit the longest home run in Miami Marlins history in a game against the Rockies at Coors Field. The ballpark is known for far home runs, with notable homers from Mike Piazza and fellow Marlin Jesus Sanchez. Denver's high altitude creates thin air, which balls can really sail through. But the longest home run in baseball history wasn't even hit in an MLB game. It was hit at Mile High Stadium, which is the football stadium, home of the Broncos, in Denver. And it's also a periodic host of the AAA baseball team, the Denver Zephyrs. And in a Zephyr game, Zephyr Joey Meyer went an astonishing 582 feet with one of his hits. And he only ended up playing 2 seasons for the Brewers in the MLB before just getting a regular day job. So like the farthest home run in Major League Baseball history, or in baseball recorded history, was done by a guy who's like selling insurance in Hawaii or something.
selling trampolines door to door.
Maybe I like to think maybe he works at like a sports store or just a coach or something. He lives behind some kids that are trying to get their ball back. That's what he's doing.
Oh yeah, and he's blind and he has a big dog. Gosh, I have no idea what any sort of dimensions here.
I just told you what the longest one ever was.
Oh, I missed that. In the absolute word salad that you just spat at me of sports. I just completely glazed over.
It was mostly about altitude and atmosphere.
But like home, like this stadium, home of this team and the MLB and the no. What was that record?
582 feet.
All right.
And that, what a mercy I've given you.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
To repeat the best hint.
Yeah. Well, it was definitely going to be more than 100 feet. That's all I was going off of. 375 feet. So my answer is 27. 27 Marlins worth, stacked end to end, would go from the batter to where the ball landed.
Final answer?
Yes.
The correct answer is 36.5 striped Marlins.
Oh, very close to the record.
Stanton's hit went 504.
Does that like go into the stands at that point? How far away is the stands from?
It depends on the ballpark. I was just thinking about this when you were talking. Do they calculate it from where it touches, like the batter to wherever it first touches, or does it like have to land somewhere? Does it go out of the park? Because some places like it's just straight up impossible for it to go out of the park. In most places, I think. But like, I think it's probably where it first like touches the stands. Yeah.
Can you imagine not being aware that a fly ball was coming toward you in the stands? Like this whole zeitgeist, or this whole like, you know, movie magic or whatever. I guess it happens where, you know, you catch a fly ball as a spectator, but man, if you are not paying attention, you could die. It could just kill you. So
I've been at games where like people get hit in the face and like have to go to the hospital.
Yeah, that's I mean, maybe at that point you're not dealing with like the like its velocity is slowed a lot because it's now just hitting terminal velocity on its arc, but like, so it's not as bad as like if the pitcher were to get hit. But still, just like you're sitting there like really concentrating on like getting that jalapeno and the cheese on your nacho, and then suddenly you're just unconscious.
Yeah. I mean, everyone starts to freak out around you usually when it's on its way. But yeah, you got to pay attention. Let's talk about weight. 220 kilograms or 490 pounds. How many baseballs go into the weight of a Marlin? Here's a hint. Baseballs used in MLB games require precision dimensions. They must have a circumference between 9 and 9.35 inches, which is 922 to, or what the heck? Maybe 22 to 23 centimeters. And a diameter of 2.86 to 2.94, or 73 to 75 millimeters. Rawlings Sporting Goods have been the exclusive supplier of MLB baseballs since 1977. What a deal to cut.
Goodness gracious. How do you, yeah, there's no competition there. You don't, you,
there's no bidding process each year.
No one can break into the Major League Baseball manufacturing process. You can't set up a plant in like India or something and supply the,
these are made in Costa Rica. All MLB balls are made in Costa Rica.
Really? Huh. Sounds like a cartel. I'm going to say 490. There we go. There's a deep cut VeggieTales reference for you. I'm going to say these balls weigh a pound. I think that's about a pound. Final answer, 490.
A pound?
Yes.
The correct answer is 1,568.
Oh, they're a third of a pound. Gross.
They're 5 ounces, yeah. They're little. They're very small and light. They gotta be.
I mean, they're pretty dense. I mean, to the point where, like, there's a reason why they call it softball. It's not, it's,
well, a softball is bigger and actually might be a, closer to a pound.
It's just like, it's, I don't know. I just feel like it's dense. Clearly I'm way off. One of the drawbacks of only really thinking about things in imperial units is that those imperial units are massive.
So, well, you have ounces.
I have ounces, yeah, but ounces, like, I know it's not an ounce. I know it's heavier than an ounce.
It's several ounces. It's 5 ounces.
But 5 ounces just seems like when you say it, it's like, that's nothing. It's just this, it's a feather.
Softball's only 7 ounces.
So I think of like a gallon of water. That's something like 10 pounds or something like that. And so I'm like, oh, a baseball. Like if I was trying to hold 10 baseballs, something that was 10 baseballs heavy, that would be like a gallon of water. But clearly I would need 30 baseballs. The more, you know. Actually, for most of these.
All I've got on that and all I've got on baseball.
For most. Really? All you got on baseball? Good. let's do some fast facts before we get into the major fact. It is an epipelagic fish, which means it does not live close to shore, but it does live close to the surface of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And it likes temperate and tropical, like warmer waters all around the world. So it can be found in all kinds of places. Kind of self-centered to for Miami to claim them from themselves, but they also claim dolphins, and dolphins are everywhere too. So it's just like, hey, our city's next to the ocean, so we call the ocean boys. Can't you be the sharks? Sharks are cool.
Marlins are cool.
Why isn't anybody the sharks? Or like the great whites or something like that.
I think there's probably instead, minor league teams with shark names.
Instead, they're like the Cardinals and the Orioles and stuff like just these pretty little birds. what a cute
you
little
would love
team.
The minor leagues. Minor leagues have like crazy names.
But then like the college teams are like the Volunteers and the rolling the Crimson Tide. These intangible things that have like the Hilltoppers. Stuff like that. It's like You stop talking about baseball and I continue the conversation. The striped marlin eats small fish that live in that same epipelagic zone. Sardines, mackerel, smaller tuna, because tuna can get huge. Did you know that the tuna can get to be like 900 pounds? I don't.
Oh, I didn't know they could get that big.
They're massive. They can be bigger than the marlin. They can be. They're so. It's the blue tuna. I think is the one that gets really big. But I just think of tuna as being like a big bass. But nope, they can be gigantic. And they also like to eat cephalopods. In fact, one of their favorite foods is episode number one of the show, the Humboldt squid. So you live in the water and you take on something as vicious as the Humboldt squid. Kudos, Mr. Marlin. They can live for about up to 10 years in the wild, and they will spawn during mating season. And for each spawning event, the females release up to 120 million eggs. It's one of those like, hey, most of these are going to be eaten kind of situations. It's so might as well hedge the numbers, hedge my bets by putting a lot of them out there. And I will leave it at that so we can talk about the major fact.
The Miami one of the minor league teams is the Hammerheads, Jupiter Hammerheads.
See, that's cool. Bring that into the professional stuff. I mean, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter to me. It's just interesting that like they have these, that they're just like little birds and stuff like that. I think there's like the Jays. Are there like Blue Jays or something like that?
There's the Blue Jays, and there's a, is it Dunedin? I'm a Floridian. I don't know this Florida city, how to pronounce it.
Dunedin?
It's either Dunedin or, I'd love for it to be Dunedin.
That would be pretty great.
You can go and see a Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp game in Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's not a cool one. I feel like you should pick cool or at least interesting names for your sports team if you want to be like at least a little bit intimidating. Like at least the Ducks are Mighty Ducks. Like you give a little qualifier there. These aren't just your average Ducks. These ones are so powerful.
Like the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
There we go. They're just muscles.
No, I think it's the shellfish.
Oh. That's even better. Actually, I don't know what's better.
The Tortugas.
Oh, that's, yeah, they're tortoises. Nice.
But Spanish tortoises.
They're the mighty Spanish tortoise. That that's going to strike fear into the opposing team's heart. Where you're up against the tortoises. Like, come on. The Bengals. The Bears. The Lions. Those are all great ones. The Patriots. That's good. Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. But, like, 49ers. You're just a bunch of prospectors? Get out of here. We're Buccaneers. Anyway, again, we're coming up to the limits of my sports knowledge. Let's talk about the major fact of the marlin.
Marlins are lightning fast when hunting. You know, reaching up to the black marlin can reach up to 80 miles per hour swimming, making it the fastest fish in the sea. But when they're hunting with friends, they have a little bit of a problem. How do they avoid accidentally spearing each other when they're going in for the same school of fish? When hunting in groups, individual marlins take turns attacking schools of prey fish at one at a time. So how do you know when it's your turn, or more importantly, when it's not your turn? Recent research using drone footage has discovered that they signal one another by rapidly changing their colors when they're about to go in for an attack. So they have these color-changing chromatophores that switch between dark blue to bright lavender stripes. And then after the attack, the stripes return to non-bright coloration. So since they're observed regularly changing color right before an attack, signaling and coordinating attacks is the leading theory as to why Marlins change colors.
Huh.
Which is very interesting for a fish with a fish brain. But they may also do it to confuse their prey. So like by altering their appearance suddenly, Marlins may disorient the prey fish, making them easier targets, which is something like that is kind of like prey, actual like schools of fish have that, like the movement and the glistening of their scales kind of has that like disorienting shine to it.
Yeah.
So maybe fish are disoriented by that kind of thing. But research is relatively new. And there are several unanswered questions, including, do marlins use color-changing abilities in other contexts or other reasons? How sophisticated is this communication? Or is it just like, green light, go, and I'm going, or lavender light, go? And how does it actually affect the prey if it does confuse them? And are other predatory fish doing the same thing? So this is like in the news. This is like another. The last one was topical too, because of Chimp Nation. But now we're talking about another thing that's in the news.
Yeah, you think about how schools of fish move around. In unison like that. And it's just like these lightning fast reflexes to what's going on, but it looks like they all have this hive mind. So you'd think that like predatory fish would also be able to have this level of coordination without having to change colors, but who knows?
But yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Getting
'cause they're reacting to. They have to react suddenly to the school.
Yeah, or the bait ball or whatever they're going up against. But man, like having one of those things ram you or spear you at 80 miles an hour.
Oh man.
There's no coming back from that one, I don't think. You want to make sure it's lavender light, go.
But even with this, I think if you watch the drone footage, they're getting pretty close to spearing each other, or at least it looks like that from the air.
Yeah, it would be one of those things where it's like, hey, guys, thanks for the help, but I'm going to take this one on my own. Because I want to eat without getting stabbed.
That's another thing. Are they coordinating at all, or is it just to like not get stabbed? Or are they like, you know, hurting the fish in order to have the best chances for each other? I don't know. That one seems like not true. But
most of the time, it's like they're driving the fish to pinning them against the surface, so they don't have anywhere to go.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird to me because you have a whole, you know, horizontal axis that you could go on, but you know, fish brain. But yeah, I mean, sharks will herd fish and their fish. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was hunting coordination happening there. But that's definitely more of like a mammalian, a cetacean thing.
It is higher brain function. But that's all I got.
All right, so that was the striped marlin. For you out there in Podcastia, swim really, really fast. Use your noggin sword to catch some sushi. And always make sure you're wearing the right colors when you're on a hunt with your boys, like the Marlin here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Hey Taxonomy Titans, I just want to remind you that we now have a Patreon. Patrons can see full video episodes and get shoutouts on the show. But ultimately, it's a way for you to help us cover some costs and get even better. Still, reviews are the best way to help us grow. So if you haven't left one yet, we'd really love to hear from you. As always, thanks for listening and engaging.
Favorite in the world podcast.
That one did have more baseball than Marlins, unfortunately, but part of that is because it's new research, so there's not a ton of information about it.